Welcome to Influential She, the podcast about accelerating the influence of women in the world.
You will find us to be a fresh voice in an old conversation.
And here we are, your amazing co-hosts, Deb Soholt
and Mel Schopp. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Influential She. This is our conversation about accelerating the influence of women in the world. I'm your co-host, Mel Schopp.
And I'm Deb Soholt. And we're just so glad that you tuned in. We're going to be focusing today on our high leverage practice of connection, how we build respectful and meaningful relationship, not only with others, but it really is key to start building relationship with yourself first. And you know, Mel, you talk a lot about, okay, a lot of times we talk about connection and networking, and it's sort of like that blah, 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 going around the room, handing out business cards and schmoozing. Yeah. You know, it's different than that, isn't it?
It's so much different. And, you know, relationships are built on really meaningful and powerful connection is what we're going to be talking about today. You know, it's really kind of easy to hang out with people that we like, but sometimes making that true connection, that deep connection, Deb, is where we've come to so much in our conversation.
Where you have respect with other people and respect for yourself in how you connect. And I think we've spent a lot of time talking about reciprocal respect. You know, that it's one thing to be in connection with others, but if you don't feel that reciprocity, that somebody else respects you too, it's really difficult to build that trusting connection. And that's what we have a great guest today to talk about that, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And I'm so excited to be able to introduce her today. So Shirley Vargas is somebody who I met in a rather unusual way. And I'm going to let her tell the story of our relationship and our connection initially, because I find it rather amusing. So Shirley, can you explain how you and I got to know each other?
Absolutely. So speaking of connections, sometimes even pictures are a way to connect with people. And I had the ability through a fellowship, through my doctoral program at Harvard, to work with a state education agency for a summer. And I was really interested in the achievements and academic and life outcomes of Native American students. So I started looking around the country and I came across the CCSSO website that has the pictures of all the state secretaries, superintendents, commissioners, and, you know, the typical pictures of like someone posing in front of the American flag or their state flag, a really bland background. And I come across this one picture of this woman who has like a white jacket with the popped collar, you know, chopped haircut, nice dangly earrings. And I'm like, this is a picture of a badass. So I must engage with this person. And lo and behold, it was Dr. Schopp from South Dakota. And I sent her a really lengthy email that I knew better than to do. But I was like, you know what? I want to front load as much information about myself and all the things that I want to learn. And that's how the initial connection started.
Okay, so now Shirley, okay, so
yeah,
you could see that my business partner is a badass. Could you just see that from her picture?
That's right.
Because that's just the truth of the matter.
So I think that's what you told me later, which I, you know, I found completely amusing that a picture would elicit that sort of response. But I have to tell you from my end, so I get this long email from somebody who is a graduate student at Harvard who is offering her time to me for the summer. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. And it was one of those really, you know, it was one of those moments like I would get a lot of email. I almost deleted it, but thank goodness I did not. So Shirley, you and I emailed you back. We did a little bit of paperwork and you came to hang out with me for a summer in Pierre, South Dakota. Now, I think the amusing part about this all is you just are not a country girl. So tell me a little bit about like where you came from, because I, you know, you and I spent a lot of time together in vehicles and cars, traveling the state, but you're a city girl born and bred. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah. Talk about getting out of your comfort zone and, you know, really taking a leap of faith. I had never even imagined what South Dakota looked like. And I'm from the South Bronx in New York City. And, you know, everything's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, mass transportation.
Just like, drives like, just like South Dakota.
Right.
And, Yeah. I end up in my summer in South Dakota, and it was one of the most beautiful places I have ever been to. I have definitely felt a connection not only to the people in the department and across the state, but even just the breathtaking landscape of that state. So
Shirley, you and I joke about, I think the first day that we came back to Pierre, I picked you up. We had a trip across the state of South Dakota. But I think one of our very first meetings that you found that was totally amazing was with Governor Dugard, the governor. And you talked about that, just that initial meeting, what a shock that was to you, that there was that sort of access.
Yeah, so it is definitely interesting to think about just not only your positionality in relation to like the job that you hold and the office that you're in, but just the connection to other people across the state and the governor, who is like the main person in the state. And coming from New York, I mean, I'd be lucky if I see the governor like in the newspaper clipping. So it's just really interesting to like be able to just be in the same room with him. So I thought that that was super powerful.
I think the next day we ended up, didn't we end up at the mansion for lunch or something for
That's
a teacher
right.
of the year?
It was the teacher of the year luncheon.
And I remember that he actually called you by name and asked you to sit next to him. What a great connection, right?
Absolutely. And I'm just like, how do you know me? I'm like all these thousand people.
So I think that was the beginning. Great. Yeah, the beginning, which has been fascinating to watch you throughout, you know, you have a rather short career, but a pretty amazing one that has landed you. So we're going to go backwards to your childhood, but just tell our guests about where you are today and how you got there, because you haven't left the Plains yet.
That's right. So I am the Senior Administrator for School and District Improvement and Support for the Nebraska Department of Education. And I'm supporting identified schools across our state improve academic and life outcomes for different student groups. And, you know, I spent some time here doing my residency through my doctoral program, and I've been here now full time in this position for 6 months. So over a year and a half, I've been now living in Nebraska.
Now, okay, so Shirley, you talked about coming out to South Dakota. I mean, you were, you know, you're in the asphalt jungle of New York and you're like an, you know, an urban woman.
Yeah.
So, and you said you felt this extraordinary connection just to the land of South Dakota and the people of South Dakota. Now you're in Nebraska. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, how did you come to that decision-making to end up in Nebraska?
So during my summer in South Dakota, I, through Dr. Schaap and her connections to a variety of people across the state, I just felt drawn to, I don't know what was in the air. I'm not sure what it was. I can't put my finger on it, but it definitely had to do with the passion and dedication of the educators of the state. And I felt like there was just a lot of powerful things that were happening from the State Department and local, you know, agencies and organizations that I wanted to come back. So a summer was insufficient for me. And also, you know, coming from New York City, to me, it was still novel, and not in a diminutive way, but it was still an experience that was so brand new. And I felt that, you know, 3 months over the summer was insufficient, that I wanted to, you know, spend more time meeting more people and, you know, strengthening those connections, with many of which I'm still close to today. And I still can call them up about anything and it feel like I still, you know, can see them.
You know, Shirley, you really struck on something, because when we teed up this podcast, we were talking about reciprocal respect. And when you said, when I'm talking about the people of the Plains, it's not in a diminutive way. You know, talk about how that authentic connection helps you foster and create relationships of respect now, because I mean, that's like really important. You could come with all kinds of New York attitude onto the Plains, like that would not necessarily serve you well. So talk a little bit about how you brought your whole self to create that respectful connection with people.
Yeah, I think one of the basic needs that I think all people have is the need to want to be heard. And I remember going to meetings across, and I mean, I was in my car all the time, either with Melody or by myself, and just talking to people, trying to get an understanding of like what their connection was to education in South Dakota and what they see the future of education in South Dakota and for the country at large. And being able to listen to people and then being able to say, you know, I'd love to stay in contact with you. Like, here's a value I could bring, whether it's making another connection or whether it's spending more time in South Dakota. And it was great to have people understand that where I'm coming from is not a place of judgment, but rather a place of learning and wanting to truly understand someone else's shoes. There's no way I would have ever known what it would be like to live in the Midwest if I hadn't actually come here myself to see it and experience it.
You know, Shirley, one of the things that's been fun, so I you know, with people I really care about, and you're one of them, I'm kind of a lurker on social media. What's been really fun to watch is that so many of the people that we connected with while you were still in South Dakota, and then I think we went to some national meetings together and whatever, that you've maintained those connections, and I think they've served you well. In the, you know, in your growth trajectory as a, you know, in the work that you're doing now, but as well as in the future. And so that's been really fun to observe from afar. I know that, you know, some of the people that were friends of mine have become friends of yours, and you've expanded that circle dramatically. Those connections have been really valuable, I think, for you as well. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, sometimes connectors just connect the people and then they like remove themselves from the connection, right? So you've connected me with multiple people, but then I also am responsible, like, to this reciprocal connection to remain connected to the people who have connected me to other people, right? Wow. So it's important that those connections stay strengthened, because that's like, that's the power of like network and influence, to be able to, you know, rely on and, you know, connect with those, with whomever did the connection, and pay that forward as well. So I think especially with women in leadership, knowing that it's important that we're building a community that's sustained, you know, over time.
So now, Shirley, I mean, you're somewhat an unlikely person to end up not only being from New York, but you need to share with our listeners your background and where you came from, because it would be kind of amazing that you would end up being a woman of the plains like we are. So just talk a little bit about your background and how, you know, where you come from.
So being born and raised in the South Bronx, you know, I think people have many different ideas of what that would be like. But for me, it was really about just honing in on English and making sure that English was a priority.
Yeah, because so, I'm like, where's your accent? Where's your Bronx accent? That's what I want to know.
Exactly. Both my parents migrated to the U.S. around like 60s and 70s. And my mom, who's from Peru, and my dad, who's from the Dominican Republic, both faced a lot of discrimination and racism, either by their physical attributes, the way they spoke English, et cetera. And they knew very early on that English is a language of power, and that it was my responsibility and their responsibility to ensure that not only education was a main focus, but that learning English and being able to speak without any unidentifiable accent. So I'm glad you couldn't tell. Sometimes the New York comes out, but.
Well, my Norwegian does as well every now and then.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes I think about the cost that, you know, I had to incur and my family had to incur, and that, you know, it came at the cost of me questioning my identity, me questioning, you know, how do I not know my own language, but, you know, my grandparents talk to me a particular way or whatever the case is. And it was important to stay connected to that sense of identity and sense of language, sense of values and beliefs that my family, you know, comes from. And when I became an educator, I wanted to make sure that I was able to, you know, identify that in the families that I was engaging with as a teacher. And so I did the best that I could to make sure that people felt welcomed, that it was inclusive, that we were as culturally appropriate and responsive as possible to the different students that we had in our schools.
You know, Shirley, you've just talked about something so important about, you know, I think so many, like you talked about trying to move away from your culture language. Your parents really wanted you to be able to speak English without any kind of an accent. This is something they felt was really important for you. But then you also talked about that disconnect of not being rooted in the connection that is foundational to you. I mean, we can't just walk away from that. So how are you, and I think that's what we're struggling with in some respects as a country and as women, you know, that many times it's like, well, I'm going to divorce myself from that rootedness to become something different. Talk about how that is so integrated for you.
Yeah, it's really interesting because all the work that I'm doing, I feel like I bring that with me when I think about the different students that we serve in our state or the different work that we're doing with different communities, that we're thinking about, you know, who are you in relation to the work that you're trying to accomplish is so critical. And you also get that through like building really foundational and solid relationships with others, you know, through asking questions, to seeking to understand and learn more, and to ensure that it's, you know, a two-way conversation, that someone isn't just sharing all of their life and then no one is, you know, returning that that conversation. So I think that that is critical in that work.
You know, Shirley, in sort of teeing up this podcast, I know we had visited about how you are traveling now into many of the rural areas in Nebraska, and you end up in these remote places, and yet you found a way to make yourself heard and respected. And could you talk a little bit about that? Because you said that sometimes you're the anomaly in the groups that you meet with.
Yeah. I think I always start, one of the things I always do is I try to start with just letting people know where I'm coming from. Right. So it's obvious, I think, at times outside of like our major cities in our state in Nebraska, that I don't know why else you would see me there, right? Unless you're in education or a particular business, I have no idea, right? Because people know their communities. And because they're relatively small, you know everyone, you know everything, right? So I think coming in and taking like a deep inquiry stance and knowing that I can't assume or try to bring my own opinions in and make them true, it's imperative that we listen and make authentic connections with people. So it could be something around food. It could be around, you know, family values. It could be about, around perspectives on education. So I think that being able to let people know what the purpose is and let people know that the intent of what questions and conversations are about are to learn more and be able to support where necessary versus saying, this is wrong, let me tell you what to do about it. It takes a very deficit-based approach. And what we're trying to always do here is capitalize on people's assets and work on, you know, strengthening those strengths to make sure that they're doing the best that they can for whatever the situation is.
This is, I jokingly say this, but it's absolutely the truth, that I grew up in a small town in North Dakota. And everybody went to the big brick Mayville Lutheran Church. And we had a few suspect Catholics like over in the corner of town. Like we didn't know what they were up to. And so to think about when you talk about yourself being this woman that is not like everybody else in Nebraska, and you're reaching out into these small towns, and here you come with a PhD, Harvard, Bronx, you know, I mean, coming with, you know, a woman of different skin color. And I think you have just really hit on something when you describe this graciousness about how you approach people and try to find commonality in connection first versus there's so much that makes us the same versus things that hold us apart, where you're talking about food or, you know, whatever it is, sports or some common interest. That takes an incredible platform of respecting other people to start to build a connection that really doesn't have anything to do with I'm what color I am, where I came from, I'm a woman, you're a man. It just has to be, I respect you and I want to get to know you. And that's what I really hear you saying.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I'd also add that, you know, not everything's going to be perfect either, right? So I think that that's always my starting point, to be able to communicate my necessity, I think, as an individual, to be able to say, you know, here's what I'm seeking to learn. Here's what I'm seeking to understand from you. Also, because I think a lot about my experience growing up and how, you know, like I mentioned, at the expense of like my language and somewhat my identity, people weren't seeking to understand who I was. They just automatically would assume things and prescribe things and then move forward. And I think that that is so detrimental, you know, not only for young children, but also for adults who are working with young children. So it's important to be able to engage in that way.
You know, and Shirley, you're talking about this concept. Melody and I have talked about this a lot, about this reciprocity. That in building a connection, a relationship, it can't just be, if, you know, if you want to have a trusting relationship and start to move forward, there has to be reciprocity in that relationship of mutual respect, mutual give and take. But when it's all one-sided or another, have you experienced that and then, you know, been left wanting, if you will?
I think since my time in the Midwest, for sure, I felt that I feel like there is more that I want to be able to learn about different rural communities. Because even in rural communities, there's some difference and there's some uniqueness, rather. I'd rather say that, some uniqueness. So being able to experience that a little bit more, you know, let me give you a little anecdote. I was working with a superintendent and he told me, you know, just by looking at someone's license plate, I decide whether or not I'm really going to be, you know, what I'm going to be about. And I'm like, what do you mean? Tell me more. Wow. And he's like, well, I can tell by just looking at the license plate whether or not this person is a big city person and they're actually going to listen to what I'm going to say or if they're just going to come and bulldoze. And I'm like, that's interesting, you know, because it assumes certain things as to whether or not whomever is driving this vehicle, right? That they're coming in and are going to there's a reason why he shared that story with me, right? So a couple of things came to mind there. You know, he may have had a negative experience because people from the big city, right, are coming in saying, this is what you need to do, do it, versus taking a much more like dialogical approach around trying to understand what are some supports that could be provided or what are some needs maybe that haven't been met that should be met now because we're actually listening to what they have to say. So it was just an interesting anecdote about just looking at someone's license plate automatically, you know, tells you whether or not you're going to share more information or just be, you know what, let me be quiet, make sure they come and go, and then we'll move on.
Okay. But you know, Shirley, you raised, I mean, it's a great story, but it's a great illustration mm-hmm. about even as women, we could go, okay, well, all men, they're not going to give me the reciprocity that I'm looking for. They're not going to listen. They're not going to want to be in authentic connection with me. You know, we could put a filter like this, I can tell by your license plate, like where you're from. And, you know, if you really want to develop connection, you got to look at your own mental model filters and say, is this serving me well? Is this going to increase my authentic connection with people, or is this something that's really a barrier to connection?
But obviously, Shirley, through the work you've done and being able to navigate that, I mean, what a gift you're able to bring to those communities and be able to quell some of that. Even for him to be able to tell you that, Think about that. That was a huge leap on his part to be able to be that vulnerable to share, hey, you know, sometimes I'm not going to like the person when they walk in. I have this prior preconceived notion. Obviously, you developed a level of trust with him that not everybody would be able to do. That's in itself shows that you are able to mitigate some of those concerns.
Now, Shirley, talk a little bit about, you know, it's kind of an unlikely story for you that you would be a PhD from Harvard, from where you came from. So talk a little bit about your humble beginnings and some of the choices and connections you made along the way to get to where you are.
Yeah, I didn't even think I wanted a doctorate degree. When I first got into education, I said, I'm just going to be a teacher forever. Slowly I started realizing that my sphere of influence was just my classroom. And I loved it. And at the same time, I said, wow, this is just one group of like 30 to 35 students I'd have a year. multiply that by 7 years. And I'm like, okay, that's insufficient. So then I went into, you know, administrative work at the district level and at the central level in New York City. And I was just seeing just a massive system and how it was operating and all the possibilities that existed in supporting educators who support students. Because in my mind, thinking of the sphere of influence, if I'm looking to make a larger impact, I may want to, you know, select the area that touches the most kids, which are our teachers and our administrators who engage with our teachers. So I, you know, engage in some master level work and was doing some school improvement work in New York City. And then I had reached a point where I felt that, you know, I really wanted to think about things differently, but I just didn't know how. I'd reached a point that I knew I didn't know something, but I didn't know what it was. And I wanted a program that, you know, would provide me the space to like think and engage with text and engage with people from different spaces in the education sector. And that's how I got to the program at Harvard. I mean, I applied and I said, you know, if I get in, it's meant to be. If I don't get in, then I'll figure something else out. And that's kind of how I got there, but like literally. But the other thing is that I was surrounded by, you know, really amazing women leaders. And, you know, and I continue to see that be a trend in the work that I'm doing and the spaces I'm in that I am drawn to and want to be in community in women that are influential, women that are badasses, right? Women that are speaking their minds and are in positions also of power that are able to then make those decisions and make those changes that are necessary to see, you know, better outcomes for our kids. And I had that in New York. I had that for a brief moment while I was in Cambridge, and I definitely have it since then. So it's been quite a blessing.
I just love how you just decided, I'm going to go after this connection with this Secretary of Education in the state of South Dakota that has her collar popped up. And she's got this sassy haircut, and this is somebody I want to get to know and make a connection with. You know, she could have rejected you and said, hey, I don't have time, I don't have whatever. But I think that is such a really great example for people that are listening to this podcast. Like, I think so many times we think, I can't make that connection happen. Mm-hmm. You know, who am I? How do I move out there? But you just did it. Like, how did that feel? I mean, what is in you that you just like go?
It's a few things, right? So, one is around, the fact that my mom definitely wasn't a rule follower. So sometimes I think about Dr. Schopp's picture and I'm like, okay, it does not follow the natural, like the normal traditional convention of what, you know, state superintendents, commissioner secretaries of education look like, right? So I'm like, okay, already I can see you don't follow the rules. So I love it. The other thing is that, you know, there were other women before me who have supported me in getting to where I am. And it's my responsibility to continue that, to be then that woman for someone else. And the best way I can do that is by remaining in community and in connection with other amazing women. So it's important that, like, you know, with every step I take forward, I'm like constantly looking back to see, you know, who else needs to come up.
That's pretty powerful, Shirley. You know, Shirley, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't end today with just a really personal story that you and I share.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think? You know, so I'm going to start and you're going to take it from there. All right.
Okay.
So Shirley comes to South Dakota, and I don't remember, how did you end up in Spearfish? Why were you there instead of with? It was that new teacher.
Drove me. It was the teacher mentoring.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So somebody drove you. We were at the new teacher mentoring thing in Spearfish. So to give our listeners context, you know, Spearfish is on the western side of the state. The capital city's in the middle. So
in Black Hills, right. Of South Dakota.
So I was going to meet Shirley there, and it was going to be our time. We had met at a brief meeting prior where I had her come out and meet me in St. Louis, I think it was. But this was our first real time to be in the car for like 2.5 hours. And so We leave the meeting and we fill up, of course, like everybody does. I get a big Diet Mountain Dew and I think you get a bottle of water.
No, okay, for our listeners, fill up means you're putting gas
in your car. Yeah, I put gas in my vehicle.
And so when I'm from North Dakota, I would always say I'm putting gas on the car. Because my dad would always say on.
Oh, okay.
Gas
and
on
I always
the car.
Fill up. Okay.
And she's filling up. But anyway, we're going to the
gas
station.
We're going to the gas station. We both get beverages to go across the state. So Shirley, I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah. So in my head, I'm like, I don't know how many hours in, but I know it was plenty. I was like, I have to use the restroom, but I'm not going to say anything because I'm sure she's probably used to driving nonstop. But luckily she said she had to use the restroom. I said, yes. She's like, well, they're building this new gas station. It should be ready. Let's go. So we drive to the gas station, not ready, closed. Okay. She's like, I know one more place, just so you know, a few miles is like 25 minutes later. So then we finally get to the gas station. Gas station also closed. So she said, you know what? Just pick a spot and go. And before I know it, we are just letting it go in the back of some gas station. And I'm like, you know what? If she's doing it, I can do it too.
And so there's your badass Secretary of Education.
That's right.
Welcome to South Dakota, Shirley. So
that's right.
We bonded over that moment. So it's like, you know, what else? You know, what else? You're just like, pick a tree, Shirley. I'm picking a tree. And, you know, so after that, I think it was kind of an assurance of a long, fast friendship.
That's right.
So that was our first day together. And from there, it's like, I wasn't sure what she was thinking, but what a great way to bond.
Man.
No, that was awesome.
Okay, so here's the thing between the two of you. You've got this amazing connection of, you know, just these humanistic experiences that happen that really bond people. I mean, that's how it is, like driving and not being able to find a restroom and just being human. And I think she also, didn't she also have you like cleaning and painting and doing some other things in your experience here?
I was worried about you on the weekends because here you were all by yourself. So it's like, Shirley, you got to come with me. We're going to go to visit my kids. And so drug her again across the state. And it was a little different route. So there were actually restrooms, but
that's right.
You know, to go hang out with my kids. And one weekend, it's like my daughter was moving and you know, it's like, okay, we're going to be sanding cupboards and having a rummage sale. And I mean, worked her to death, you know, to the bone. But, you know, talk about getting to see the real side of me. I mean, you know, this was no makeup. It was sweats and it was in the sun. And, you know, it was probably like, I don't know if there was really, you know, it was really hard labor. I'm not sure that was good.
It wasn't that bad, but it was interesting.
It was interesting. You're being really kind, Shirley. So anyway.
Okay. But I think let's just talk that through because I think sometimes we think to be women of influence, we end up with the degrees and the titles, and both of you are PhD prepared, doctor, and this connection that you had, you know, in one moment you're meeting with a governor through the connections that Melody has through state government. But at the basic core of all of it, if we want to be influential and connect with others, we're just human beings, and we all have things that, you know, we do the same, and that commonality is where we need to find the bond of connection and the basic respect. We can take our degrees and our intellect and our, you know, our platforms and create influence together. But at the end of the day, it's about connecting on a level where I see you. I see you, Shirley. You can do a little bit of work and helping with the rummage sale. And, you know, I see you, Dr. Melody Schopp, who is the Secretary of Education, that, you know, we could consider she's all buttoned up, but we know she's not because she's got the popped up white collar and she's badass even in her picture. And I just think that is just the stories between the two of you. Well, I'm super ticked right now that I only have a virtual connection with Shirley. And now I'm going to have to meet you because I'm feeling like a little bit of green jealousy here about the relationship you have. But it just comes out, and I know our listeners are hearing it, that this just exemplifies what we're talking about with this high leverage practice of building a respectful and meaningful relationship. But it came from yourself, Shirley, and understanding who you were and what mattered to you, and then how you translate that and connect it to others. It doesn't matter if we're a woman, doesn't matter what color we are, it doesn't matter where we're at, people are people. And if we can bring our true authentic self and I say, I see you and respect you, boy, amazing connections can happen.
All right, Dr. Shirley Vargas, you're amazing. And I can't thank you enough for doing this with us. It means a ton to me personally, but also your story is really powerful. And thanks so much. You know.
Yeah. Thank you both for having me. And, you know, as one of the newbies on the block here, I really appreciate just being able to continue to stay connected and just continue to learn more and connect with other amazing women that you all, have on your show here. So this is great. Thank you.
Shirley, thank you so much for taking the time. And to our listeners who are out there for this podcast, I know you're going to be jealous of the relationship that these two have. And hey, all I would say to you is go and seek it for yourself. And at the end of our podcasts, we always leave you with a question. And something I want you to think about today is, how often do you reflect on the quality of your connections? Are you bringing your true and authentic self and trying to remove some of the mental models that you have? If you want reciprocity in a respectful relationship, are you also someone who is willing to give it in every situation that you're in to have this authentic connection? We want to thank everyone that tuned in for another episode of Influential She. We hope you'll do it again.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed our podcast, we'd be so jazzed if you rate us on whatever app you use to find us. And hey, be sure to tell all your friends about Influential She.
And please visit us at InfluentialShe.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And you know what? If you come up with a new one, please let us know. In the meantime, remember, stay influential.